on spiritual maturity. Amen. How many of you have been blessed by it thus far? Dealing with growing up in Christ. So look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's time to grow up in Christ. Amen. And so one of the scriptures we lifted up is 1 Corinthians 14 and 20. And we're going to read that in your hearing. It says, brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Somebody say, in your thinking. It says, be infants in evil, but in your thinking, be mature. And so why be mature in your thinking? Because think about it. Proverbs 23 and 7 says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Am I right about it? So we have to learn how to control our thoughts. Come on. If we're going to grow up in Christ, lay hands on your mind and say, I'm going to control my thoughts as I grow up in Christ. Amen.
And you mentioned that, but you find in the Word of God, it says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
So many times we try to make our mind his mind,
right,
instead of allowing him to take over our mind and renew it, and then being renewed and having a renewed mind. And a renewed mind doesn't think old thoughts.
Yes.
You got to catch that. A renewed mind. If you're still thinking old thoughts and acting like the old person, it's a great possibility that you have not been renewed. Mm-hmm. Anybody in here? Mm-hmm. It's a great possibility that you may not have been renewed. You can be saved, but you can still be that same devil.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Don't nobody want to talk up in here. Yeah. How are you going to be saved and a devil at the same time? Because you're still carrying that flesh nature around.
Yes.
And that flesh is superseding, amen, the anointing of the principle of salvation that he put in our life. And how do we know that a change has taken place? Most of the time it's through the mindset, because
it
says, as a man thinketh, so is he.
Right.
We don't know you really changed until we can see your thoughts at work.
Yeah.
Until we can see your thoughts in action and your thoughts moving. If you're still thinking about, and I don't have nothing against the clubs, but if you're still thinking about the club every Friday night, that means you're still in the club.
That's right. As you think it, so is he. Amen. Amen.
I'm good. That's all I had to say.
I mean, because we're dealing with confidence this morning.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the confidence starts with our mindset. What is it that we think, come on, about ourselves? And that is what we will begin to operate in. Amen. I mean, even dealing with the thoughts, I love the version of King James, the new King James version of Jeremiah 29 and 11. We'll never be able to comprehend the thoughts of God. Look at this. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says
the
Lord. His thoughts are peace and not evil, and to give us future and an expected end. Amen. And so we have to come into one with the thoughts that God has concerning us. That's that power of agreement that we have to tap into. But that's one scripture that we laid as a foundation that we want
to
hit on that
thought. It's critical what you said. God says, I know the thoughts
that
I have towards you. But many of us, we shout on the word of God, but we don't recognize that it's a thought for our life. And we get caught up on what other people think about us. And we don't move because of other people's thoughts and what they're saying. And so other people can become your God when their thoughts take control over your life greater than his word for your life. When you surrender your life to the thoughts of other people, those people dictate who you are and how far you're going to go in your life. And so now you become what we call people pleasers. You preach to please people. You develop sermons to make people shout instead of make people grow up. You come for emotionalism and to see how many people ran around the room. But how many of you know maturity is when the judge made his reading a declaration? He don't jump up and shout saying, I got the power.
Okay.
His power is not demonstrated in his emotionalism. We all have emotions, but his power is demonstrated in his ability to sit down and be mature and say, I now pronounce you innocent or guilty.
Yes.
I now pronounce you whatever it is that he's pronouncing. And then he gets up and move on. We surrender to what people pronounce in our life. How many of you know if somebody pronounced something that you don't receive, don't fight the person, just fight the thought.
Yes.
fight the thought. Don't let the thought get embedded in your mind. Why did they say that about me? Why did she say this? Why are they acting like that thought is trying to take root in your head? And you got to evict that thing at the moment that it start talking to you. Amen. Somebody give God a praise. You got to evict it at the moment it start talking. Childhood nursery rhymes. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words, that's a lie. Words will take you to your grave trying to figure out why people said this, why people said that. Get people out of your head. Like Pastor Vicky said, touch your head. Touch your head and say, I have the thoughts of Christ.
The thoughts of Christ.
I have. The mind of Christ.
The mind of Christ.
I believe. The word of Christ.
The word of Christ.
I am.
A manifestation.
Of the promises of Christ.
Of the promises of Christ.
And I'm over people.
People.
Places. And things. Come on and give God a
praise
as we jump into this. Amen.
Amen. Let's jump to 1 Corinthians 13:11. Write this down. Says, when I was a child, someone say, was a child. That's past tense, right?
That's past tense.
I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But hallelujah, when I became a man, when I became a woman, I gave up. Somebody shout, gave up. Childish ways. Amen. Highlight those scriptures. A lot can be said about that.
And we just flowing up this morning. The thing that I love about that is when I became a man. You don't just wake up at 21 and say, I'm a man.
Amen. Process of becoming.
You understand? Chronological age does not make you a man, because I've seen some 70-year-old boys. You understand? I've seen some 70-year-old boys still got velvet in the Cadillac rolling down the windows in the summer trying to pick up somebody on the side of the road. Ought to have their old tail in the house sitting down somewhere speaking into the life of mentoring a younger generation. Yeah. But they still out there talking about player from the where?
Himalaya. Jerome Rome.
Come on with it. You understand? I seen some old mothers out there, 70 years old, talking about, I'm a cougar.
Cougar your way to the house.
You need to be declawed and get in your house somewhere and sit down and learn how to train the younger women.
Train the younger women according to the word.
What are we supposed to be talking about? Come on, let's go. When I became a man.
When I became a man,
you understand? I gave up childish stuff. Yep. You could beat me in the video game and I wouldn't take my controller and go home.
Come on, I gave up. And that's the thing, a lot of times we don't recognize maturity, just like in a marriage, it's a process of becoming. It's a process of becoming. And so as we process becoming mature in Christ, let me just say this, we will find ourselves gradually giving up more and more and more things.
That's right.
What happens to the believer that throws in the towel so fast, they just got saved this Sunday, and next Sunday they said, I'm done, because in 7 days they tried to give up everything. Not understanding that becoming is a process and it occurs over time. Somebody shout, I'm not all I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. I'm not where I desire to be, but thank God I'm not where I was this time last year. Somebody ought to praise God for the power of becoming a man and a woman of God, walking in wisdom and knowledge. Come on, divine insight. That's what we talk about, the parking lot prophets. You're not ready to prophesy yet. You got to sit in the presence of God and at least process what is he saying before you just jump out and try to exercise all the gifts. Come on. And don't beat up on yourself. We're dealing with confidence, baby. But don't beat up on yourself because you don't find yourself operating in all the gifts you think you should be operating in at this time. When you understand it's a process of becoming, you stay in the presence of the Lord long enough. I guarantee you what's on him, his thoughts that he has for you, come on, eventually they gonna drop down on you and you're gonna wake up one morning and you ain't gonna know what hit you. You're gonna be speaking in tongues. You're gonna be able to prophesy the word of God with wisdom, knowledge, and divine insight. And I'm telling you, when you wait on him, it's gonna come out right. it's going to come out right. Amen. And it's going to be received.
It's going to be received.
Let me tell you, premature release of the gifts, you can acknowledge and recognize it, because most times it's not received by the one you're trying to release it on.
Amen.
Because it hasn't been matured in the presence of God. Because when he releases you, let me say this. I said when he releases you, not when you release yourself. Not when you go to Office Max and print off some cards calling yourself a prophet. But when he releases you, I guarantee you, he has prepared and set up your audience to receive you, because you're speaking for him. Somebody ought to give him a praise.
Amen.
You're speaking for him. And the audience will be ready to receive what he has to say through you. Give God praise.
Amen.
It's a setup. It's a setup.
Look at this.
Setup.
Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. She's talking about maturing and talking about having confidence. She referenced that some of them come in and in 7 days they go back out. Many of them go back out because they don't see the image of what they're looking for in the house.
Ooh.
They walk in looking for maturity.
Wow.
And they run into immaturity at the door. They already know they're immature, and so when they say, I don't want to sit over on that side, usher, I want to sit on this side, and the usher get an attitude, they say, she's just like me. They run into a leader in the hallway and they turn the wrong way. Hey, you ain't got no business going that way. Hold on, they just like me. Yeah. And so they come in expecting something, and they run into themselves, and they say, ain't no sense in me sitting up in your wait to die meeting. Ain't no sense in me coming to your wait to die service and listening to you talk about how much stuff you got when you get to heaven. I'm going to go ahead and have me some more fun here in the earth. And so I ain't coming to your wait to die church meeting and listen to you shout on that boring music. I'm going back to the club and get my dance on, and I'll figure this thing out another way. Because they walk into a place where mature people say, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, but they need a band to pep them up.
Yeah.
They need a man to tell them when to shout and when to praise, because they haven't grown into a relationship to say, when the Spirit of the Lord moves upon my heart, I'll lift my hands, I'll open my mouth, I'll declare his praise, I'll shout for joy, I'll give him honor when the Spirit of the Lord moves me.
Yes.
And so now we walk into his house, and it's no longer spirit-led, it's man-led and flesh-driven. Yeah. And if that's the case, I can still throw a dollar on the pole like I can throw a dollar on the altar.
Yep.
If the behavior is the same, then why don't I stay the same?
But we expect our children to grow up in the household. We start out telling them everything to do. Get up, wake up, put on your shoes, brush your teeth, get dressed, come downstairs, eat your breakfast, go run out to the bus stop, it's time. But how many of you know when they reach a certain age in their development? I don't know about you, but I stay asleep at 6:30 when they getting up. Because I told you when you was a child. But now, young man, you are maturing, come on, in the things of God and in things concerning your physical well-being, that I can stay asleep and I shouldn't have to tell you, wake up, brush your teeth, get dressed, get your breakfast. Go. You don't eat breakfast, you go to school hungry. Guess what? You reap the consequence of not being able to focus and learn, and I bet you learn in. And so it is with God. After 1 or 2 weeks of the pastor saying, get up and lift your hands and praise the Lord. Come on, there comes a time in our spiritual growth and development where you ain't got to come tell me, lay at the altar. Because I know what I'm dealing with right now. I know that this assignment is too heavy for me. I know that I can't just walk up and act like I got this thing all under control. I know I got to go and throw myself at the altar. If you need to, but right now it's just me and God, and I need him to pour and download into me. There comes a time. Go ahead and text it. There comes a time. Sit down when you're ready to sit down. I ain't gonna tell you sit down. Sit down when you're ready to sit down. Because there comes a time. where you got to come out of the childish way of life and step out and do and be who God called you to be. So what did they talk about you? They talked about Jesus. So what did they say? She at the altar every week. And every week I just so happen to be getting my spiritual download. I love it. I said, that's why I am where I am, and that's why you are where you are. Because every week I'm at the altar. Talk about me, baby. I love it when they start singling you out.
Come on, come on.
Because I guarantee you the one singling you out ain't nowhere near the level you operating on. Because they too busy spectating, Deacon Celia, when they supposed to be receiving what God has for them. They trying to spectate and see what's God doing in your life.
My.
Childish mentality, my. Shaniqua. All right, Pastor C.
Amen.
Childish mentality. My daddy used to say, get your mind off me. I never knew what he talked about. He was a longshoreman. Reverend Haywood retired. He's always called to get your mind off me. I'm like, what? Because everybody want to talk and think about me when they need to be thinking and talking about themselves. That's that get your mind off me.
When I was a child.
Get your mind off me.
You hear me? When I was
somebody
a
gonna
child,
go home and say that. They're gonna be walking around and work. Folks gonna be doctor. Get your mind off me.
Yeah.
You see that? You see her? How come get your mind off me?
Uh-huh.
Get your mind off me.
Let's move. When I was a child.
We'll be in this next week. Elder trying to get through page one.
When I was a child, 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, somebody say was a child.
Was a child.
When I was a child, I spoke like a child. Your vocabulary ought to have shifted by now.
Yeah.
If you're in 12th grade, still doing first grade English, still using first grade vocabulary, we call that LD, or having a learning disability, or we might be dealing with a developmental delay. And so we socially, we know how to deal with developmental delays, but what about those spiritual delays?
Yeah.
What about those people that have been in the house for 12, 15, 20 years and they still are spiritually delayed?
Yeah.
They're still developmentally, they're still operating at the infancy level of the Word of God. I love John 3:16. I think it's one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. But that's the one you learned, amen, when you came through kindergarten. They taught you John 3:16. What have you picked up since then? Well, what is your spiritual acumen since then? Pastor Vicky said you want all of the gifts. That's immaturity. A child wants all of the cake.
Yeah.
A child wants every kind of candy that's in this store. Mama, give me this. Mama, I want this. Mama, I want this. But when you began to mature, you began to specialize. You begin to find, what is it that God has or designed, developed, and birthed me to do? What is my call? You go to school for 12 years. You go now 4 more years in college, 4 more years for your master's, maybe 4 more years for a doctorate, not to be what everybody else is, but to specialize in who God has made you. You ain't saying, I want to be a mechanic when I'm supposed to be a professor.
Okay.
You ain't running around trying to be what everybody else is. You got to figure out, who am I in Christ?
Yes.
That's the first step of your maturity, understanding who am I and what is it that I'm supposed to be doing, because everybody else's assignment is not yours.
Yes.
Well, in the church, the highest office is the pastor. Who said that?
Wow.
Who said that? The highest office is the one God calls you to.
Yes. Yes.
3 people over there got that. The highest office is the one he calls you to. You can become a pastor, but supposed to be the janitor.
Yep. Reaching people that the pastor will never cross paths with. Ah, somebody caught that.
You're running after position. Because in the world, position, titles, and status dictates how big you are. And now we bring that same mindset into his house. And we don't come to serve him. We come to see how long it takes me to get from the last row to the middle row to the front row. And when I get here, now I'm growing up in Christ.
Oh,
hold
no.
on, what were you doing from back there to get to here? And then many times you get here and you start acting like you were when you were back there. I'm done.
I don't know, babe.
The definition of maturity is...
Mm-hmm. We're going to change it around. Because, you know, the gift of the teacher would take Webster Dictionary definition and change it around,
uh-huh.
right?
Work it.
Write this down. It's the process of becoming fully grown or developed. That's the maturity definition. In psychology, maturity is defined as the ability to respond to an environment in an appropriate manner. And a part of maturity is being able to discern what season we are in and responding to it accordingly. Amen? So courting season, you know, you responded differently than you did when you entered into the settling down and getting married season. Well, at least we should have. Yeah. Yeah, we should have responded to the environments that we come into differently in our settling down season, getting ready to get married, than we did when we were still in the courting season, all right?
Amen.
It's just like in the, summer months. We don't come outside in a fur coat, and in the winter months, we don't come out in our swimwear. Come on. Well, at least I hope we don't. Why? Because we are maturing, and we're able to discern the environment that we are in now, amen? And that's how you know we're mature. So when we step out in the word of faith, we don't step into our season or our life of faith with, I can't do that. I don't have enough. Don't nobody love me. Don't nobody care. Come on, this is the immature believer. Don't nobody ever do anything for me. So you see the double negatives in that? So double negative words produce double negative outcomes.
Come on.
That's why some of us feel like we're trying to dig our way up out of something. And it's because we have allowed double negative words to impact our life, and now we're living double negative outcomes, all right? Another part of immaturity is regrets. I wish I would have.
Uh-huh.
I could have. I should have done this, that, or another. Let me say this. Life's greatest lessons are learned in the classroom of life.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, so it's a process of learning and becoming. So I believe that each day we're learning what to do, just like we learn what not to do.
That's right.
When I interact with people, I learn how to act from some, oh yeah. And then from others, Elder, I learn how not to act. Uh-huh. I talk to people and I learn what to say to make people, you know, feel affirmed. And then I talk to other people, and I'm like, okay, I'm learning what not to say.
Amen.
So life is a life of learning and becoming, okay? So there is no regret when you're maturing in Christ, because you're either learning what to do or what not to do. But either way, both lessons are going to benefit you in the days ahead, amen?
When we look at the learning process and the learning curve, all of us, we're learning something and we're teaching something at the same time.
Mm.
We're operating in a duality where we're teaching and we're learning at the same time. When it comes to parenting,
mm-hmm.
when we first had Jonathan, we were learning how to parent
right.
from looking at people like Pastor Haywood Barnes.
Yeah, Beverly and John
Beverly and
Gray.
John Gray. You see, we were learning from people that were already parents, and we were figuring out what it is. Jonathan, we thought we could break him. So we lay him down very soft. You don't understand?
No, right?
We put him down. We make sure who
like
had him. By the time Jeremiah came, we knew how to be parents.
He had learned.
Jeremiah didn't get the same.
We all night.
We didn't abuse him, but he didn't get the same care that Jonathan got. You understand? When Jeremiah cried at night, we said, we done changed him. We done fed him.
He
all right in the crib.
Right.
He going to be all right. He going to have to cry himself to sleep tonight. Amen. We learned
something.
And then the lesson
That's
we learned
good.
When we ran into new parents, we tried to teach them what we had picked up on.
Right.
We learned something from my
That's
father.
Good.
I learned a tremendous lesson. I learned how not to be abusive to my wife.
Praise God.
You see, I could grow up in regret and hate him, but his negative lessons taught me a positive lesson,
on,
and I walked away from
on.
It. I could be beating my wife and blaming my dad. You got to learn how to mature and develop discipline in your own life. Some of us are blaming fathers for our own illegitimate ways. You understand? If you're old enough to know different, you're old enough to do different. And you can't keep blaming somebody in your past. My father taught me many lessons, but most of them were negative. My father was an alcoholic. Well, why you talk about your dad like that? Well, he was. Right. But yet he taught me I don't need to drink to be able to socially interact with other people. Okay. I learned something from that man. My father also taught me the word of God.
Come on.
Hold on. He had all of that going on, and he taught you the word of God. My father taught me that the word of God will keep you in the middle of crisis.
Wow.
He came from the Vietnam War, and he had Psalms 121 in his pocket with him all while he was there. And he came, and he sat down, and he said, the Lord will keep you.
Wow.
He said, son, anytime you run into hard times, they took his license. He taught me how to hitchhike. You don't want to deal with that. He taught me that you ain't stuck just because you can't move yourself around.
Somebody else can get you where you need
to. He taught me how to get out and don't feel sorry for yourself and get up. And he says, son, every morning I wake up, he says, I get up at 5 o'clock. And before I take a drink, everybody see me drunk, but they don't see me read my word. They don't see me when I quote the scripture and pray to my father and say, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills for which comes my help. Yes. He realized God kept him in Vietnam.
Yes.
And he brought him home safely from Vietnam, but his mind was changed. PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, led him to drink because he couldn't cope with what he ran into in Vietnam. Wow. And there's somebody under my voice. Wow. You ain't been diagnosed, but you can't cope with what you've been through. You stuck in a moment and in a situation, and you can't get past that divorce.
Yes.
You can't get past that hurt. But this is the day to get your confidence back. This is the day to get your confidence back in the word of God and the things of God. Just lift your hands and say, God, I need my confidence.
God, I need my confidence.
Lift your hand again and say, God, I need my confidence back.
I need my confidence
back. You got salvation down, but your salvation won't get you to where your
confidence can take you.
Salvation will get you to church. Salvation will get you in the room. But when God tells you to start that business, salvation
won't push that vision.
Jesus, if you don't come down and
I already done that.
Open up this door for me.
I already done that.
And tell me how to do it. Already done. Mm-hmm. It's a done deal. Jesus looked back at you and said, if you don't mature in my word,
okay.
If you don't step out past what I've already finished on the cross and begin to do what I'm saying to you to do right now, you're no different than that child that's scared to go to sleep without the nightlight on. You still need the light to be with you before you can move out and operate, and you say you don't got over the fear of the dark.
Yeah.
No, failure is a spirit of darkness, and that dark spirit is driving your light down. And then you got to step up. Confidence causes your light or your candle or the illumination or the wick of the Holy Spirit to be lit in your life again. And it calls you to burn and shine and to step back out. Somebody need to get your swagger back. Some of you been saved, but your shoulders droop, walking around, head down, looking down, depressed. That ain't a sign of a king. That ain't a sign that you've been saved. That's a sign that you stuck somewhere.
Come on.
Come on and give God a praise.
Amen.
Touch that person beside you and tell them, cast not
away
your confidence.
Tell
that other person, cast not away
your confidence.
You let me say this to you. Your confidence has nothing to do with your education.
Amen.
Some of you are stuck because of your education. When you were ignorant, you didn't care and you did anything and you got results. But when you got educated, you can I coin a phrase?
Go ahead, man.
When you got educated, you got peoplerized.
They gonna say.
And you start caring more about what people said, amen, than what God said. Remember when you were a fool for Christ?
Yes.
When it didn't matter who was around you and what was going on, and you would just break out with the praise, and somebody said, what's going on? I just had a thought about what he did for me. I just had a thought about where he brought me from. When was the last time you had one of those thoughts where God just moved you? Or when was you so consumed that you don't think like that anymore, and now you need something else to move you? God says, I remember when you used to come to me, and when you think you're mature now, but your maturity is immature in my sight. Tell somebody, cast not away
your confidence.
Look at this. Confidence is defined as faith with a proven history. Write it down. Confidence is faith with a proven history. Write it down. Confidence. You don't develop confidence until you have a proven history of testing your faith. When your faith is tried and God brings you through, you have confidence in who God is in your life. Amen.
Yeah.
I love it when I see 4-year-old boys preaching, but they can't move me. Amen. Because they haven't been through nothing yet to tell me if they're going to still be preaching down the line. You understand? Anybody can mimic anybody. Won't he do it? I know he will. He brought me from a mighty long way. Anybody can memorize a man's spiritual jargon. But when your back is up against the wall and when you are down, it's then when you have to stand up and say, won't he do it? Won't he make a way? You see, it ain't just when the sun is shining. It's when you are going through something that you pull back on the faith report. This is what God has already done in my life. And if he did that one thing.
Okay.
David, when he ran up against Goliath, he says, hold on, I should be scared of you, but I'm not. Because I remember when the lion was messing with the sheep. I remember when the bear was messing with the sheep. And if I deliver them from him, who are you? You understand? David didn't have much, but he had confidence in what he had. He didn't say, I need a bigger sword. I need a bigger knife. I need more weapons before I can work. David said, give me what I got. And let me wind this thing up, baby. And let me start working with what I got. I guarantee you, your victory is already in your hand. If you would just start working what you got. Look at somebody and tell them, work what you got.
Work what you got.
What you got? Moses.
Come on.
You got to work what you got.
Come on, what feelings have you already overcome? That the feelings you're experiencing now, you can't overcome them.
You're already an overcomer. Hebrews 10:35 says, cast not away your confidence. That's where we got this from, right out the Word. We ain't make up a good slogan for you to go home. It's right here in the Word, Hebrews 10:35. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Look at this, for you have need of patience. That's the thing to get us.
The waiting.
This microwave generation, we're dealing with endurance next week.
Yeah.
But this microwave generation, that if it don't come tomorrow, I ain't going to stick with it long enough. Baby, you got to have patience.
Yes.
Look at somebody said patience.
Patience.
Go, well, the Word says he healed me. He did heal you. Now keep saying that and have patience till you walk in your full manifestation. Don't let nobody change your mind. Keep saying I'm healed until your healing manifests. We had a healing take place in the room last week. And the week later, people were walking and coming in. Well, let me see if she's going to be able to still see tomorrow. Do you not know that because you didn't praise God all week for the manifestation that she had, that you contributed to the doubt that could pull that person back down, and you think you're mature?
Yes. Come on. That's it. It says we walk by faith. And so if we keep walking by faith, come on. If we've already possessed it in the spirit realm, we keep walking by faith, eventually we're going to walk right into the physical manifestation of it. It's when we stop walking that we miss out on the physical manifestation of what God has already said is done in the spirit realm. His thoughts are higher than ours. They're supernatural thoughts. We're operating on the natural, you know, realm. We have to come into the supernatural faith realm in order to see in the earth realm what God says is already done. It's already done.
Hebrews said, don't throw away your confidence.
Don't throw it away.
It has a promise, a great recompense of reward, but you got to have patience.
Yes.
I wish I could come in here and tell you everything is going to happen in your life tomorrow.
Yes, can't.
I wish I could tell you it's going to happen for you in this one service.
Yeah.
If I did, it would just be me talking to you. Because that ain't the way God works in your life. You got to go through your process.
That's right. We all do.
You can't preach your process out. You got to go through your process, and that's where your confidence and your faith is developed.
Yes.
You see, I wish I could lay hands on you and savate you from your process and get you out of your storm and into your place of calm, but Jesus didn't do it that way. He came into the storm with the disciples, and he got on the same boat with them, and he rode out the storm. He didn't bring them out of the storm. The storm is not bigger than you. You got to go through your process in order to have this confidence that we're talking about. But don't nobody really want to go through anything. We read a Bible about everybody that you read about went through something, and then you think you're going to get saved and don't go through nothing.
Come on,
for real.
Every day.
And we're talking about spiritual maturity, casting that away, your confidence. Well, why I got to go through this? Why stuff always happening to me? You probably got a bigger destiny in faith. You probably got a more elevated place in him than the people that's not going through anything.
Yes.
It scares me when I run into people that every day they going through and it's just the best day in the world.
Yes.
I'm blessed and highly favored, too blessed to be stressed. God is doing this. He's the best in my life. I like your testimony, but you ain't helping nobody lying. You ain't helping nobody telling lies. God don't need you to lie for him. God needs you to endure the process with him so that people will know this is what you have to do when you're trying to get out of situations. Don't sell me a bill of goods. Don't tell me that I ain't supposed to be. Some of you ain't even going through because of sin. Some of you are going through because you're anointing.
I'm going through. But I know somebody who can carry me through to the other side. Come on, you have to take that suffering and turn it into the release of God's glory. You do. You take the suffering and you turn it into glory. And there's a scripture because, write this down, the lack of confidence generally comes with the feeling of loss. It does. But I love it because our suffering and what we go through does not have to relate to the enemy taking something away from us.
That's right.
It doesn't have to relate to the fact that, you know, we think the enemy took something away from us. Some things we have to willingly give up. It says, when I became a man, I gave up.
That's right.
A, B, and C. And so we have to give up willingly some things, even though it satisfies our flesh. Come on, what we're giving up, it satisfies our flesh and it makes our flesh feel good. It's really killing or suppressing our spirit.
That's right.
And it's the spirit that's operating in accordance to the will of God. Why do you think the enemy would want you to stay in the flesh? Because you're not going to fulfill the will of God until you give up some of the fleshly desires and some of the fleshly feelings and some of the things that make your flesh feel comfortable.
That's right.
Come on. I'm okay with just coming and being a member. That's the flesh speaking. Because the Spirit of God is saying, when you were in your mother's womb, I knew you and I called you to be greater. And so when we give up the mindset that I'm comfortable here in the flesh and start operating in the spirit that I am a leader, we'll be able to move into what? Leadership. But when you look at John 10:17, write this down. I said, lack of confidence generally comes with the feeling of loss. It's important that we understand that the enemy did not take Jesus' life. But let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we got to understand, what was Jesus' thought on the matter when he had to give up his body? Come on, in the earth realm. Let's look at this. Come on, what's his mind? 10:17, John. It says, my Father loves me. How many of you know Father loves you? Come on, you know he loves you. Okay, it says, because I lay down my life. That was in the flesh. That was in the earth realm. Right. God sent him to the earth realm to show us how we're supposed to operate. So he says, I laid down my life in the flesh. You know he suffered that horrible death and they buried him. It was over. It says that I may take it back up again. But when he took it back up, he took it back up in the spirit realm. Come on. So he did not come back to walk the earth in the flesh no more because he gave up the flesh. And he said, I gave up my life only to come back and catch this, y'all, pick it back up again, but in the spirit realm. That's why the Spirit of God can live and dwell and move within each and every last one of us, because Jesus gave up the flesh so that he could come again and pick up the spirit realm. And now he can operate in the earth realm through each and every last one of us. Are you catching this? So he says, I have the power to lay my life down, so I have the power to pick it back up again. That's right. And this command I received from the Father. So what I'm saying is that we do not have to walk around in the matter of suffering and think that the enemy has taken something from us. The word says that, here it is, go there, let's go there, let's go there.
While she's getting there, Philippians 1 and 6 says this, being confident of this very thing.
There it is.
That he which hath begun a good work in you, you see this, will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. You see that the things that's happening in your natural life, they are really confidence contradictions.
That's it.
You got to catch that. These things that are happening in your natural life, they're confidence contradictions. And these confidence contradictions are things that come up to make you think that the word of God is not effective, not effective in your life.
That's it.
You understand? These things come up, and these confidence contradictions, when you feel something coming in your body tries to make you denounce that the word of God says you're already healed.
That's it.
And so the first thing come out of your mouth is a contradiction. I feel like a cold is coming on.
Yes, speaking contrary.
It's contrary to what the word of God has already spoken, and then it manifests because your spirit released it.
That's it.
And so now what we have to do is be mindful that we don't give confidence contradictions the right to be the law or be legal in our life.
That's it.
We got to be able to catch things before they come out the trap.
That's right. That's it.
Many things the devil don't have to do, because when you release it, it has greater power and effect to work in your life than if he tried to scheme it.
That's it.
And so you have to be able to think for yourself and then develop a thought and process a thought before you release a word, because when you release the word has power to work and will work, and that word will accomplish whatever it's gone forth to do, whether it's your words or his words. They still have power to work in your life, and so you have to understand that your words are not irrevocable like his words are not irrevocable.
That's right.
You understand? God's word is not irrevocable. And so now when he says something concerning your life and speaks something concerning your life, Minister Kim, you're doing a business seminar at in Hampton next week, and you're working with entrepreneurs and business people. When God gave you that idea, that mindset, and that vision, he didn't tell you if don't nobody show up, it was a failure.
That's right.
Your flesh will come in, and people around you, well, how many you got coming? Well, how many people going to be here? Well, how much is going to cost? How much money do we need to pay for it? All of those are the obstacles, are the contradictions. But when God speaks of vision, he speaks provision, and he stands over it as Jehovah Jireh, and he says, if you don't take responsibility and give it to me, I'll manifest it. But if you take responsibility, then you got to manifest it. And that's when we walk away frustrated. Yep. But when you look at ministry, when you look at business, in this church, we're the pastors, but we're not responsible. This is not my house. This is his house.
That's right.
And whoever he wants to come in his house on any given week, that's his doing. My doing is to be obedient, hear the word from him, and be able to speak that word, not whether I like the person, don't like the person, have feelings about the person. Doesn't matter what their gender is, whether it's male, female, or neutral. It does not really matter, because my job is not to judge, but just to minister.
That's right.
His job is to allow the word that we speak to do the work on the person or the vessels that he sent in. And so we can walk out of here every week knowing that if we heard from him, If we release what it is that he's saying in our life, if we don't finish the notes and get to a certain point and stop, and he's saying, this is where I want you to end, we didn't fail because we didn't give you all 5 points.
That's right.
We gave you what you needed for that day and for that hour, and it's up to you to go and get the rest of it. That's your maturity.
That feeling of loss will cause an extreme lack of confidence.
Yes, it will.
Because we think we lost something. But keep in mind that the enemy doesn't have any authority, no power. He doesn't even have the right, listen to me, to come in and take something that doesn't even belong to him. He doesn't even have the right to do so. So the scripture I was looking for is Romans 8 and 12. Because you got to know and you got to think this concerning yourself. It says, we are children of God. Then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And if indeed we share in his suffering, come on, in order that we may also share in his glory. So we're going to go through. Christ went through. But the point is, he didn't give up. He didn't let the enemy come in and take his life. He freely gave it up so that he could pick it back up again. Amen.
Amen. We gotta be mindful that we don't cast away our confidence. We gotta be mindful. What are we saying to you this morning? What are we saying? We're simply telling you that this is not the season to stop dreaming.
Yes, 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 in Jesus' name.
This is not the season to stop casting forth vision. This is the Kairos moment that you've been waiting for.
Yes, it is.
You have already entered that season, but when you came into that season, the storm came with you. Your storms are a part of your process in life. And we've gotten so conflicted in church that we think we got to just shout all the time and jump all the time and don't endure the storm, because you understand, you learn more in your storm than you do in your shout.
Yes, yes, yes.
Your storm is the teaching ground that prepares you for that shout. And so many of us have just matriculated through church, and we thought church was all about just the shout, Minister Shanika, Pastor Vicky. We thought church was about a good service was how many people jumped, shouted, and ran around. We don't have no problem with that. We love that, and it's a part of ministry. But man, a church is a collective group of people going through a collective group of different storms, and they come together and sit in the same room. Nobody judges anybody. But in the old days, we used to testify, when I was going through this, God brought me out of this, and somebody over here jump up and say, that's where I am now. Thank God for your testimony. Somebody else over here would testify, my marriage was on the rocks, but I spoke to so and so and so, and this counsel brought healing to my relationship. And a couple over here would jump up and say, we were just dealing with that last night, but you've gotten so acclimated to two people talking that you have stopped talking, and the power of God is reduced to this realm and this arena only. But they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. What storms have you overcome since you gave him your life? And who have you shared that with? My dad walked out the house, and Mama had to do this, this, and this, and I've been molested, and I was abused, and I've been through this, this, and this, and now you're in the closet. That molestation, that abuse, that abandonment, that pain, that suffering, that shame is still walking with you today, and so now you have a relationship with God, but you're trapped in the closet. Got a relationship with God, but you're trapped in the closet. Well, let me just say this to you. Everybody else is coming out. Why don't you? Everybody else is not afraid to come out the closet anymore. Why are you still afraid to come out of the closet? Get your shoulders squared. Get back up and look at your life. I'm here to tell you this morning, you're stronger than what you think you are.
I
feel like having an empathic moment with you. I see you stronger than where you see yourself. Others have given up. Others have thrown in the towel. Others have died and taken their life for what you have been through, but you're still standing. Did you realize how strong you really are? Somebody ought to just stand up and square your shoulder and just lift your head up and just give God a praise and say, I thank him for new mercy and new strength. I thank nation. Somebody ought to be able to just rise and give God a praise.
Yes.
And say, I ain't the same old weak person that I used to be.
Yes.
You're stronger than what you think you are, and you don't know how you got strong. In the gym, it ain't what I can lift that develops me. It's what I can't lift. When I need a spotter. When I need somebody to just lift this thing off of me. He's stabilizing the weight.
Yes.
But I'm still lifting the weight.
Yes.
You see, Jesus don't take the weight off of you. He just stabilizes it.
Yes.
He puts his hands under it and says, if you can't lift your hands, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Lift up your hands, O ye gates. And be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. He don't come and get you out. He come and work with you while you're in it. What are we saying to you?
Yes, yes.
What are we saying to you? Where you are is where you need to be.
That's right. That's right. Celebrate God for that. That's confidence.
Here.
If he wanted you somewhere different, he would.
He's working something out in you in that place that you're in right now. And if you jump out of it too quick, you're going to have to take the class again later.
Yep.
Some of us don't want to get out. Some of us got a radio mentality. I like the 11th grade, Coach Jones. I don't want to go to the 12th grade.
Yep.
God's trying to bring us somewhere.
Yeah.
But let's do this. Let's do this. 10 minutes. 10 minutes. Let's do this. Somebody shout, I'm getting my confidence back.
I'm getting my confidence.
Somebody shout, I'm getting my swagger back.
I'm getting my swagger back.
How you do that? You gotta realize, number one, realize. Sit down and write this real quick.
Yeah.
Realize. Storms will come, but don't let them stop you.
Amen.
You gotta catch that. We ain't saying nothing deep. Storms will come, but don't let them stop you. Your storms, they only come when you're on a faith assignment. Storms don't come when you're not on a faith assignment.
That's it.
For if you're not doing anything, there's no need for opposition or contradiction. It's only when you begin to move and be obedient in the things of God that storms come up. How many of you had peace before you said, yes, Lord? Peace before you stepped out on the promise. Peace before you said, I'm going to do this, God. You told me to start this business. You told me to do this. You had all of the education, all of the knowledge, all of the skills, all of the abilities. The KSAs was highlighted and dotted. But then you stepped out there and all broke loose. Why didn't this happen before I got started? Because you wasn't doing anything yet. It's when you get started that the storms come, and Jesus doesn't come to get you out of your storms. Write this down so that we can finish Mark chapter 4, verse 35, and read all the way up to Mark chapter 5, verse 1. When Jesus calls you on an assignment, he calls the storm with you. When he calls you on an assignment, he calls the storm to come with you to see where your faith really is, because everybody like it when he calls, but can you handle it when you have to deal with the process? Mark chapter 4, verse 35, he told those boys, let's go to the other side. They got in the boat because Jesus was with them.
Yeah.
Everybody want to ride with Jesus to the other side. But in the midst of getting to the other side, a great storm arose on the water. And those boys was horrified and afraid. And Jesus was sitting back chilling. Jesus sitting back like, what in the world is really wrong with them? If I told you to let's go to the other side, all you got to do is go to the other side. Because no matter what obstacle come up in your life, the bottom line is, I'm not a man that I should lie. If I say it, let's go to the other side. We're going to get to the other side.
Yes.
Even if we got to swim over on broken pieces from this boat.
Yes.
You ain't nothing going to stop us from getting to the other side, because my word is on it.
Come on.
And if my word is on it, you ain't got nothing to worry about. But the storm come to see if you believe me because you're with me. If you believe me because of my hand, or if you believe me because of who I am. And so now they got Jesus on the boat, but they having a fit in fear. Feels like church to me.
Yes.
Sound like yes. church to me.
Yeah.
Got Jesus with us every Sunday,
yes.
but walk out the door and say one bad word to me, and I'm ready to lose Jesus. And just lose my raggedy mind and step back into my old ways. Yep. Where was Jesus last in your life?
Yep.
Somebody dropped him off in the storm.
Yeah.
Thinking that if you ain't going to get me out, I'm going to get myself out.
Mm.
And that's why you're back in the crack house.
Yeah.
That's why you're back at the shot house. That's why you're back at Magic City. Come on, Pastor. That's real. Because if he won't do it, then I got to do it.
Yes.
But I'm saying to you, your storms have a purpose in your life.
Yes.
Your trials have a purpose in your life.
Yes.
And Jesus didn't come to get you out of your storm. He came to be with you in it. And you shout about those Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. And you shout about the fact that they looked in and saw a fourth man and he looked like the Son of God. But when was the last time you saw the fourth man in your storm?
Yeah. Yes.
When was the last time you realized if Jesus is in it with me, it don't matter how long I'm here, I am already an overcomer and I'm already out because yes. whenever he said, let's yes. go, yes. we got to bust a move.
Yes.
So realize for your confidence that the storms are a part of your process.
And
what's number
this,
two?
Know this. The boat is not Jesus. Just because the boat was supporting them, the boat was not Jesus. And sometimes we will get in our mindset that the thing that's supporting us is Jesus. And Jesus will cause us to come up out of what we see supporting us just to see if when we come out the boat, will we now continue to walk towards him. Who's the first person that we're going to call on when we're commanded out of the boat, the very thing that brought us support and comfort, when we are lifted up out of it? Come on.
That's it.
So Jesus is still saying, come. He's not the boat.
He's not the boat, but sometimes we become so dependent on the boat that we miss Jesus and we miss his assignments because many times we get caught up on the gifts and we've made the gifts the boat and we chase gifts in the church instead of chasing his presence. Why do you think I'm not hard on the church, but the church has to grow up.
Yes.
The church has to mature and develop confidence and not get trapped by the things. This morning, Elder Gale lay at worship using tracks, and some people couldn't worship because they so used to the boat music. Of live music.
Mm-hmm.
Some people couldn't shift and get into it because this ain't what we always have done.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're in the business of creating monuments. And we find something we like and we build a monument and we want to stay there. And Jesus had to talk to his disciples about not building monuments. Yes. Lord, it is good that we be here. Let us build three tabernacles. And in the church, we like to build tabernacles and we like to stay in places that we've been. And we don't like to move with God and knowing that he's never stationary in our life. He blows storms in to move us or cause us to have to move. Your storm has a purpose in your life, and it's not to destroy you. It's to grow you up. Amen.
Amen.
Well, what else? Another confidence thing, Pastor Vicky. You talk about vision and assignments.
Amen.
Vision and assignments.
Amen. Jot down Joshua 1 and 8. This is the focus scripture. It says, don't turn to the left or the right. Come on, this is not our season to be unfocused and distracted, so we got to stop looking around. And even when we talk about looking around can also be judging and criticizing, critiquing and questioning. How come things are looking this way? Well, if you were looking straight ahead at the vision and the assignment and not with what's going on around you, there wouldn't be a whole bunch of questioning and critiquing and criticizing, would it?
Amen.
And so staying focused on this vision and assignment is key as well. Wanted to just lift up Habakkuk 2:2 because this is not the time to question the vision, but when the vision isn't written and it isn't plain and it isn't simple enough to read with it, we have a lot of questions. So just jot this down as a practical step to remember Habakkuk 2:2. It says, write down the vision. Come on, y'all. If it's still out there in la-la land, and we in our head, which is the playground of the enemy, So people want to know why the enemy keep playing with me. Come on, why he keep messing with me? Because right now your vision is just a thought. And if the word of God that we open up and read every day, come on, that propels us into our destiny. Come on, if it was still a thought in the prophetic men and women of God, do you know it had to bring, it had to be validated. There had to be a valid written word of God that we can refer back to when the enemy comes. That's why when Jesus was tempted, come on, knowing he was called to do a thing, he was still tempted of the enemy. Each time, what does he say? It's written. So when the enemy come to play games with us in our mind and act like he's stealing something away from us, we got to be able to open up a word that we have written the vision and say, Satan, it's written. It's written. My business has been launched. Satan, it's written. My promotion has been granted. Come on. Satan, it is written. My marriage has already been restored. So that the contrary thoughts of the enemy don't become validated in our mind. And so we write it down. We make it plain. Let me just say this. Stop writing down complex and complicated visions. That if somebody was to read it, they'd be like, do what? Where you going? What you gonna do? What's the vision again? Break it down to the foundation. See, the gospel of Christ, when you look at the foundational doctrine, it's easy. It's simple. It's so practical, and anybody who can read it can understand it. Whether they choose to walk in it or not is up to them. But it's simple. So just make sure you make it plain and simple so whoever reads it can run with it. And then lastly, that verse 3 says, though the vision, come on, is written, it says it awaits an appointed time. Come up out the natural. Come up out of the chronos timing. And understand that when that kairos moment hits, no matter what's going on, come on, no matter what the checkbook looks like, no matter what the people are saying, when you enter into that kairos moment, that's the appointed time, and it says it's going to speak, and it will not prove false. Amen? It may linger, but it says wait for it. Somebody say, I'm going to wait for my vision.
You got to wait for it.
Wait for it. It will not delay. Perfect timing. Write this down. It's nothing but the perfect will of God. And perfect timing is kairos timing. Mm-hmm. Your clock, your calendar can't comprehend the kairos timing of God.
Amen. When you look at timing and talk about kairos moments and all of those things, when you're writing your vision, the vision for this ministry is on that wall over there in 6 words.
Simple.
Embracing people, expanding vision, pursuing destiny. Where did you get that from? John 7:38, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. The name of this ministry, the purpose of this ministry, the vision is lofty and written, but nobody learns that.
Yeah.
You got to put it in a place where a 6th grader can walk in and look at it and say, man, that's 2 E's and a P. I can get that EAP. I can catch that, and they can take it and turn it and walk around and say, what do you believe? Man, I believe in embracing people, expanding vision, helping them to pursue their destiny, because in all of us, there's a river of living waters that's flowing under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's what it is that we're part of. And so you have to write your vision so plain. We know you've been to school. We know you're educated. We know you got that. But the people that's doing the work for you haven't been to the same school you went to.
And they're not seeing on the level that you're seeing.
You're
so
hiring people
break it down.
That don't have your skill set. And you're going to train them that after they get there, but put it on a level that they can at least get started with you. Amen?
Amen.
McDonald's don't bring them in and take them all the way through culinary art school.
Right.
They bring them in and tell them the fryer is right here. Put the fries in. Put it in. Hit this button.
Keep
15 minutes. The buzzer going to go
pull
off.
Them out.
When the buzzer go off, take the fries out. Put them on this
throw
pan.
Some salt.
Shake the salt one time. Put the fryer back. When you get low, do this over again. And McDonald's is making money long after Ray Kroc died because the vision was so plain
and simple.
He wouldn't keep adding every time somebody else come with a good idea. Man, you can do this with this. You can do that. Ray Kroc did that, but his junk wasn't working. He had to go back to the basics.
Yes.
You got to get back to the basics of what you do and stop trying to impress people with how much you know.
Yes.
Simplify your vision.
Yes.
Simplify who you are. Simplify what it is that you're supposed to do. And many, many people will get on board with you. But our egocentric is a childlike state. We're so egocentric that we want to show how much we know instead of just being simple.
Yes.
Be practical. Be KISS.
Keep it simple, saint. Somebody.
Number three, and we let you go.
Something to build upon.
Can you handle this? Number three, we talk about realizing that your storms are God activated, really. Your storms are God activated to make sure you stay focused on the vision and the assignment, and not get caught up with the storm. But then your storm checks your vision to make sure you're not bringing excess debris. Number three, to stay confident, you got to let go of everything that's been holding you back. You got to let go of everything that's been holding you back. Some of you don't have confidence because of past failures. And those failures were things to teach you how to be successful. And you say, well, it didn't work that time, so I don't know about going back out and getting started again. That moment in time has stopped your life.
Yes.
And you went from living an enjoyable life to now just existing. Because fear has gripped you. And these negative things have come into your mind and your heart. And we're preaching about maturity. We're preaching about Kairos moments.
Yes.
We're preaching about living a God-led life, purpose-driven. And you're hearing that word. But before you get out the door, not only other people, negative people speaking into your life, negative thoughts that you formed in your own mind.
Yes.
That self-doubt, that self-fulfilling prophecy that you can't do what God has called you to do has destroyed your confidence. Pastor Vicky, I say it like this. We got to get those gremlins out of our head.
Yes.
We have these negative monsters that's in our mind.
Jesus.
These gremlins that every time it's time to step out, they start telling you what you messed up on the last time. They start telling you negative things about what you can't do. And you keep shouting and saying, God, I believe you, I hear you, I know. But then when it's time to activate, those gremlins of self-doubt kick back up in your mind. The devil don't have to mess with you when your own thoughts are defeating you. When you become your own enemy, Satan leaves you alone. When he get into your mind and you start telling yourself what you can't do, but yet when you get around others, you say, I'm going to do, and you walk away knowing I'm my own contradiction.
Yeah.
I am the obstacle to my life. I'm the one that's been in my way. I need my confidence back.
Yes, Lord.
This morning there's at least three people in here. You've been that person that we talked to. You've been in the storm of your life. You've lost sight of your vision. And those gremlins are speaking to your mind, this self-doubt, you can't, you won't get over. You can't move in this year of the triple R's with those old thoughts. This morning, we want to just speak over your life a do-over.
Yes, yes.
We want to speak over your life that God is going to renew your mind and you're going to be able to step out and do over again what you thought you couldn't do. Somebody has given up on yourself. Woman of God, man of God, come down here. Go ahead and move this podium. Woman of God, man of God, come down here.